All right, so you guys sent in some really interesting articles this time around. I mean, articles that really kind of challenge, you know, those familiar climate change narratives we always hear about, you know.
Right.
And this time we're going to really do a deep dive on this stuff. We're going to look at some of the scientific discoveries that are shaking up the climate models and really kind of take a critical look at how organizations like the UN are presenting climate data.
It's going to be good.
Get ready for some aha moments.
Yeah, this is where it gets really interesting.
It really is.
Because I think these sources really kind of push us beyond the headlines and make us examine, like, what is the evidence behind some of these claims?
Absolutely. And one of the things that I found particularly interesting was this article that was talking about this new discovery about isoprene, which is this compound that's released by trees.
Yeah.
And it turns out that it might be a lot more crucial to our climate than anybody ever realized. And in fact, the article says this is so big, it may change the sacred climate sensitivity of the whole Earth.
Wow, yeah.
Okay, well, hold on.
Big statement.
Break that down for me. What is climate sensitivity and why is this discovery such a game changer?
So climate sensitivity, it basically measures how much our planet's temperature will change.
Okay.
In response to a specific increase in greenhouse gases.
Uh-huh.
So think of it like the Earth's thermostat.
Okay.
You know? Like, how sensitive is it to turning up the heat?
Yeah.
And so this isoprene thing, it's like throwing a wrench into that whole system.
Okay, so isoprene.
It's a chemical.
It comes from freeze.
Yeah, it's released by plants and particularly trees.
Okay.
It's a volatile organic compound.
And it affects climate sensitivity, but how, explain it to me like I skipped chemistry class.
Okay, so think of isoprene as like a defense mechanism for the trees.
Okay.
Like it's their sunscreen and air conditioner kind of rolled into one.
Interesting.
They release more of it when they're stressed out, you know, like from heat or drought.
Oh, so like when it's really hot out, the trees are...
They were pumping out the isoprene.
Oh, wow.
To try to protect themselves.
Okay.
But here's where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
When that isoprene interacts with other stuff in the atmosphere, it creates these teeny tiny particles called secondary organic aerosols.
Secondary organic aerosols.
Yeah, and those aerosols can actually change how clouds form and how much sunlight the Earth absorbs.
What? So the trees are trying to protect themselves.
Okay.
But they're inadvertently messing with the entire planet's temperature.
It's kind of wild, isn't it?
That's crazy. Why haven't scientists factored this into climate models before?
It seems like they just dramatically underestimated how much isoprene all those lush tropical forests were pumping out.
Okay.
So for years, they've been using models to predict future warming without fully accounting for this, like, super abundant natural compound.
So are you saying that, like, we may have overestimated the human impact on climate change?
It's possible.
Because we didn't account for all this naturally occurring isoprene.
It's definitely raising some serious questions about the accuracy of those predictions.
Wow.
Like, if something as common as isoprene has been underestimated for so long, what else might we be missing?
Right.
And what does that mean for, you know, our strategies to address climate change?
Yeah.
I mean, this is why this discovery is such a bombshell.
This is making me rethink everything I thought I knew about climate science.
Right.
So we've been so focused on reducing, you know, human-caused emissions.
Mm-hmm.
But what if nature has its own, like, thermostat that's way more complex than we've realized?
That's the million-dollar question. And I think this is where those critiques of organizations like the UN come in.
Okay.
Because they're raising concerns about whether the way climate information is presented might be skewed toward a specific narrative.
You're talking about that article from the Wall Street Journal.
Exactly.
The one that called out the UN for what they called climate alarmism.
That's the one.
Yeah.
And they specifically took issue with how the UN emphasizes heat-related deaths.
Right.
Claiming that they might be overstating the problem while downplaying the significantly larger number of deaths caused by cold weather.
And they even quoted a pretty shocking statistic that said, in Europe, cold kills nearly four times as many people as heat.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty stark contrast.
It is. Now, before we jump to conclusions, it's important to remember that this doesn't negate the very real effects of climate change and rising temperatures.
Of course.
But it does make you wonder, doesn't it?
It really does.
Are we getting the full picture?
Yeah.
Is the data being presented in a way that gives us like a balanced understanding of the risks and the potential benefits of a changing climate?
Yeah.
You know?
Hmm.
Something to think about.
Yeah. It really kind of highlights the need for I think, a more nuanced perspective.
Right.
Like, you know, while acknowledging the dangers of extreme heat, we should also be looking at
potential benefits
right.
of a warming climate, too, like fewer deaths from cold exposure.
Right.
You know, it's about understanding the complexities.
Yeah.
And not just focusing on like one side of the story.
Right. Like maybe framing it as like, here's the problem. Here's the full context. And now let's like explore some solutions.
Right.
Speaking of solutions.
Yeah.
These sources also presented some really interesting alternatives to the typical, you know, ditch fossil fuels completely narrative.
Yeah.
It seems like they're advocating for a more,
well,
I don't know, like practical approach, I guess.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They're suggesting, you know, focusing on things like promoting economic development.
Okay.
Making sure that, you know, everybody has access to reliable energy sources.
So instead of just trying to like prevent climate change altogether, we should also be preparing for its impacts.
Right.
Both the good and the bad.
Exactly. Like, you know, having access to air conditioning can significantly reduce heat-related deaths, but that requires reliable and affordable electricity.
Yeah.
Which many parts of the world just don't have yet.
Of course.
And, you know, economic development can really play a key role in making those vital resources available to everyone.
It's interesting to think about, like, the unintended consequences of some of these well-intentioned climate policies.
Absolutely.
Like, if focusing solely on eliminating fossil fuels actually like hinders economic growth in developing countries, could that inadvertently lead to more climate-related suffering?
That's a really good question and a crucial point to consider.
Yeah.
And of course, this approach is not without its critics.
Sure.
Some would argue that prioritizing economic development could lead to increased emissions and actually accelerate, you know, environmental damage.
Right.
So it's a complex issue.
Yeah.
With valid points, I think, on both sides.
It seems like a classic case of like damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Pretty much.
But even if there's not like a perfect, easy answer, at least these articles are kind of sparking a conversation about different approaches, different perspectives.
Absolutely.
And that's something that I think we desperately need.
I couldn't agree more. I think these sources are just encouraging us to be more critical.
Yeah.
You know, to challenge assumptions, to consider a wider range of viewpoints.
Okay.
Because let's face it, this isn't a black and white issue.
No.
It's super complex and constantly evolving.
Speaking of evolving, like this whole discussion about isoprene really threw me for a loop.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder, like, are our climate models even reliable?
It's a valid question.
If we missed something this fundamental for so long.
For so long.
How can we be confident in predictions about the future?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It is.
It really highlights, I think, the inherent limitations modeling complex systems, like the Earth's climate.
Right.
You know, we're constantly learning.
Right.
We're constantly refining our understanding, which means our models need to evolve, too.
It also makes me think about the responsibility we all have as consumers of information. Like,
absolutely.
We can't just blindly accept what we hear, even from seemingly authoritative sources like the UN.
Exactly.
We need to ask tough questions.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the data ourselves and be open to different interpretations.
Be open to different perspectives.
Yeah.
And that's really where you, the listener, come in.
Okay.
You know, we've presented some challenging ideas today.
Yeah.
And now it's your turn to kind of grapple with them.
So what does this all mean?
Yeah.
It seems like everything we thought we knew about climate change is up for debate.
Yeah.
We've explored potential flaws in climate model, seen how data can be presented in ways that shape our understanding, and even considered alternative solutions that kind of challenge that mainstream narrative.
Yeah.
It's a lot to process.
Yeah, it is a lot. But I mean, that's the beauty of the deep dive, right?
Yeah.
We're not here to like give you the easy answers or, you know, tell you what to think.
Yeah.
It's more about like equipping you with the knowledge, the different perspectives, so you can like form your own conclusions.
Based on these sources, I think there are a few really key questions to consider.
Okay, hit me.
As you kind of continue to explore this whole complex issue.
Yeah. What should our listeners be asking themselves?
Well, first, when you come across, you know, climate information, think critically about the source.
Okay.
Like, who is presenting this information
mm-hmm.
and what might be their agenda?
Yeah.
You know, could there be any biases mm. or motivations that are shaping how this information is being framed.
It's like that old saying, follow the money.
Exactly.
Like, who's funding the research?
Who stands to profit?
Mm-hmm.
Who might be pushing a certain narrative?
Exactly. Then think about how this new knowledge about isoprene impacts your view of those climate predictions.
Right.
Like, does it make you more skeptical of the models?
Yeah.
Does it make you more open to alternative explanations?
Right. If something this big was overlooked for so long,
right,
it makes you wonder what else
we
might be missing.
Exactly. And then finally,
yeah,
what are your own personal takeaways from all of this?
Right.
Like, what questions do you still have?
Mm-hmm.
What aspects of this whole climate change debate are you most interested in exploring further?
I love that, because ultimately this is about like empowering you
exactly
to listener to be, you know, an informed and engaged citizen.
That's it.
We've kind of given you the tools.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's up to you to use them.
The conversation doesn't end here.
Yeah.
In fact, it's just beginning.
So keep those questions coming. Keep digging deeper and keep challenging those assumptions.
Yes.
Because when it comes to something as important as climate change, I mean,
right,
we all need to be part of the solution.
Absolutely.
And that starts with being informed and thinking critically.
You wouldn't agree more.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. And until next time, keep exploring.